Sexual counseling. Anybody know?
I've
never had anybody come to me looking for premarital counseling. Everybody's already decided to get married. They've already got plenty of counsel. From whom? The fool. Number six, I said that marriage is good for a man and a woman. It's good for one man and one woman, and it's all other forms of marriage are not good. Then we have talked about recognition of bias. Bias can be called presuppositions, preconceptions, prejudice, presumptions, fixed ideas, assumptions, givens, any number of things. We went through a bunch of funny stuff, and we're going to go all the way over to number 13. But before we go there, because remember, I'm not talking about marriage. You just think I'm talking about marriage. I'm talking about tools, which means any area of your life, you have to read the Bible with these ideas in mind, so you actually hear the Bible as opposed to what you already believe. Otherwise, you end up exactly where you always were. So let's ask a question. And please, today for a change, no blurting out. I want hands raised. I want intelligent discussion. What is the number one bias about marriage when it comes to these two beautiful ladies right here? Aloha, and who's that girl beside her? I don't know her. Cassie. We got two young ladies here single. We got Roz, you're not close to marriage yet, so we don't have to worry about you. Another 25 years. 15 years, you two in the back. The four guys. Oh, my goodness. So let's ask the question. Parents, let's use intelligence. What is your great bias about marriage? Your children's marriage, yes.
Whatever was getting
worse. Yeah, that would be part of it. Your family. Follow your heart. The heart doesn't lie. I don't think I am able to get to the question that I want to get to, so I'm going to probably give away the answer if you don't mind. See these two couple, this couple right here? Aloha, are you listening? Because I'm going to speak to all of you so you hear it publicly. I don't play games. They have a bias towards you. They don't really want to choose your spouse. What they really want is two things. Number one, they want you to get married and be happy and stay married. Do you understand what that bias causes? We do all kinds of bizarre things to try to cause that to happen. How does that work? All right, so let's go back to, I think it's 1997. The gentleman's name, and that's using the term loosely, Joshua Harris. He was 19 years old. He wrote this wonderful, one of the most retarded books I've ever read. Actually, I will confess to you, I couldn't read it because the person was a scatterbrain. It was like, just looked like popcorn book. It was like somebody had taken some verses and blended them up in a blender. But hold it, what was his bias? Now, he was young and stupid and should have never written a book. By the way, why would you read a book of a 19-year-old? Sorry, I love you. You ain't got it at 19. He wrote a book called, what was the book, Cassie? You know. Well, if you were anything to do with the homeschool movement, it dominated the homeschool movement. I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Now, for all of you that are drifting off and have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm actually still talking about recognition of bias. He wrote that book, and why did it dominate the homeschool movement? Besides of some other things, I'm talking about the positive part. What was the reason? I've already said it. Yes. Leads to sex, learns to immoral behavior, pregnancies, and disasters. So he came up, by the way, he wasn't the first one. There's all kinds of these people. He came up with what he called courtship. Now, there's no courtship in the Bible, but it sounds good. But what was it? You're still missing the point, some of you. What was his bias? Well, he learned this from somebody else. He wants to protect. He didn't want to. What I've even heard the language. They say things like, let me think. I don't want to give away my heart except to one woman. That sounds very romantic, doesn't it? Now, everybody knows, no, you probably don't. Joshua Harris recently kissed his wife goodbye. And he's kissed Christianity goodbye. He's now an official apostate. That this isn't religion, folks. It's all over every place. But it all comes back to, aloha, your parents want you to get married to one person and be happy. So we're trying to develop a what? A formula that will guarantee that my children, when they get married, never have a problem. Here's your problem. Does that formula exist? Well, if it does, no one's ever found it. Yes, ma'am. Couldn't happen the freshman year. It has to happen the junior, senior.
Yeah, because you shouldn't get married while you're still in college.
Now, here's what's funny is all the people that would teach you that kind of thing, none of them got married that way, or almost. They got married their first year. You know, we're looking for a form. Do you understand bias? I think maybe you do. You have a bias. And by the way, can you find this in the Bible? Well, we now have a place, a Christian college not far from here that will not let their kids go to that pagan place like Bob Jones or Maranatha because they allow dating. We know that courtship is the only thing of God. Now, does dating work? Not real well. Does courtship work? Not any better. Why, Nancy? You can lie to yourself. The heart doesn't lie, does it? I actually heard a song like that one time. The heart don't lie. And I'm like, really? Whose heart doesn't lie? That's the big lie. All right. Yes, sir. Anything would work if we didn't have sinful nature. In some cases, it's just the husband that has sinful nature. Some cases, it's the husband and the wife. I'm joking. Yes. The secret is this: is the. I'll just say it right now. In my two churches, I haven't found a lot of really, really happy couples. Because you know what? I have found that the only kind of people that ever get married are two sinful people. And unless you're mature enough and biblically driven enough, you'll still have the same problems 50 years into your marriage you had the first year. Now, we're not going to talk about that. Wednesday night, we're going to do the other half of what we started about my view of marriage, which is a funnel view. But I don't think there's any guarantee. But you have an innate, look at me. You have an innate bias that you want to protect your children. And I understand that. Then we find books that teach this, and you're like, no, the Bible doesn't teach that. That's nonsense. Well, let's look in your notes, number 13. This is, of course, my favorite. We'll read it together. By the way, in the Bible, the question is only asked twice that I am aware of. If you find it any other place, please let me know, okay? Yes? I'm assuming you read the Bible. That probably is a big assumption. Judges 21, verse 6. And the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin, their brother, and said, there's one tribe cut off from Israel this day. There had been a war, and most of the Benjamites had been killed. Here's one of the first of the two times that I know in the Bible. How shall we do for wives for them that remain? Seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give our daughters to wives. And they said, what one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord? And behold, there came none of the camp of Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. For the people were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead there. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest, you know, valiant people, commanded them, saying, go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. And this is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male, and they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, and Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives, which they have saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead. And yet so they sufficed them not. So here, oh, by the way, I'm going to ask you a question in a moment. Is this in the Bible? So we'll just go to a nearby city, kill all the men, kill all the women and children. I don't know. I know how they determine who a virgin was in the ancient world. Dress. Just like in lots of cultures, women who are not with a man dress differently than women that are married. So in your notes, kill all the men, women, and children in a rebellious town. Save the virgins for wives. All right, somebody do not talk. Raise your hand. How do you know that's not of God? It's in the Bible. Yes. Thank you. Otherwise, he keeps telling you, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This is not what you follow. Yes? Now, the next one, Cliffy is going to organize this starting this week. Verse 16, the second time this question is asked, then the elders of the congregation, by the way, the whole mess with the Benjamites was pigsty. You wouldn't go to Judges to find out how to find a spouse. Then the elders of the congregation said, how shall we do for wives for them that remain? Second time that question is asked, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin. And they said, there must be an inheritance for them that be escaped of Benjamin, that the tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin. There's just a lot of stupid in this whole passage. Verse 19. Then they said, behold, there is from the feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly in a place, which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of wherever, Labona. Therefore, they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyards. And see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances. So I'm going to ask you a question, deacons. Are we a dating church? Or are we a dancing church? It's right in the Bible. Retardation. He goes on to say, go and lie in wait in the vineyards and see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance and dances, then come you out of the vineyards and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh and go to the land of Benjamin. Verse 23, down at the bottom. And the children of Benjamin did so and took them wives according to their number of them that what? So folks, they found wives from a dance. I could just hear some old Baptist, pious Baptist. Do you think we're going to have a dance here? The answer will be no. Do I think that's biblical? The answer is no. Yes. Dave over here could plant some bushes. He'd plant the bushes. Cliffy will organize the dance. Here we go. Folks, is this funny to you? No, it's not. Because? All right, don't answer the question. Have you found any people that have been married in your family that are very unhappy? The answer, unless you're a liar, the answer is yes. Or you're so unaware that you just don't know. Folks, marriages are difficult. Did you know that? To find a happy couple, to me, is kind of abnormal. I actually think most couples are... Come on, here, I want to hear it. Well, I've talked to Dave, and... oh, I'm not saying it's not possible. I will tell you this. Now, let me give you my Pastor Warren's view of marriage. Number one, I don't think anybody falls in love. I don't think you know what love is. I think somewhere 3 to 5 years of a marriage, once you get married to the real person you're married to, that's when you determine what kind of marriage you're going to have. And many people have many kinds of marriages. Lots of folks just kind of exist, as I've taught many times, parallel lives. And may I say this, everybody runs parallel lives at times in their marriage. Why? If you think marriage is all about holding hands and playing kissy face, what planet are you from? Yes. Yes, you do. And by the way, I have a mother-in-law at my house that's not doing well, that takes an inordinate amount of time. She's worse than my grandson. Not mad. It's our responsibility to take care of her. I'm just saying, if you think, part of our problem is we have this idea of marriage, man, I'm going to get on the horse. We're riding off into the sunset. You are, right into a thunderstorm. Life is life, folks. Is that correct? And I'm not trying to, I hope you guys are so ecstatic you just can't keep your hands off each other. But my wife can't keep her hands off of me either. It's a different kind of hands. It's for my own good. All right. By the way, I have the verses in your notes. Some of you looked at me like I was from outer space. I've been teaching this for 24 years here, and you still don't know the tools. In those days, there was no king in Israel. You don't go to Judges, by the way, any place in Judges, to find out how to live your Christian life. You say, what about Gideon? We'll talk about Gideon down the road. What about Barak? Do you not realize that Barak was somewhat of a hero of the faith, but he didn't win the battle because he was such a weenie? Two women ended up winning the battle. One won the battle, and the other one killed a guy. While Barak was going, ugh. All right, number 15. This is just funny. Don't be picky. Make up for quality with quantity. How do you like that? It's in the Bible. You know what? When I hear people say it's in the Bible, I wish people, there's a piece of Josh Harris that I like because he's just come out and said, I'm not a Christian. My guess was he wasn't a long time ago because I don't think you become an unchristian. But I've come to realize through pastoring that there are people that you never see growth. And remember, when there is no growth, what inevitably that means there's no life. But they keep hanging around church. Josh Harris was in ministry, folks, for a while. Now, he was all part of the grace, you know, what is that, sovereign grace mess, which has just been a debacle since the first day. But everybody was in love with the new Calvinism. All right. Of course, my favorite is Paul. A wife? Really? Okay, next page. When I say suspension of judgment, now we're looking at the subject of marriage. But suspension of judgment, it might not be language that you use. So let's use other language to... Because I'm trying to teach what again? Yeah, tools, ideas that you can apply to many areas. Should you speak in tongues? Should you not speak in tongues? Well, I don't because I'm a... You got to have better answers than that. No, you have to have better answers, not me. You got to be able to think through things. Why don't we have a musicians up there singing and swaying and turn the lights off? Well, I could teach on this until I'm blue in the face. Some of you wouldn't even remember that I've taught on this like 50 times. I'm not mad. I do get frustrated because I start to realize I'm not sure who we are. Are we just going through the motions? Should be who we are. Suspension of judgment, it's basically... Let me say it in a totally different way. Being willing not to know or not to have an opinion. That is suspension of judgment. Folks, why should you have an opinion when you don't know anything? Wouldn't it be better not to have an opinion, yes or no? Because once you make up your mind, let's look around. I love this concept. People think certain people are stubborn. Do you know what I think? I haven't met many people who aren't stubborn. Once a person gets their mindset, God Himself can't change their mind. Only death and heaven. And it can be about 1,000 things. So suspension of judgment. Now some of this is, forgive me, I know I come from a scientific background. Plus I love history and historiography. This comes from that world. But you do not want to have an opinion. I just finished a book on the Plantagenets. Now, I know you know who that's right up your alley. You know, those are the people that preceded the big War of the Roses in England right before the Tudors took over. Henry VII, Henry VIII, you know, you've heard of them, Edward VI, Bloody Mary, Elizabeth, those people. Well, it was a disaster. Richard III, he's infamous because Shakespeare wrote a play about him and said he was an evil guy, he was a hunchback, one of his arms was weird, and he was evil. I just read a history, this thick, that said all of that's not true. Well, the guy wrote the history in the 2000s, early 2000s. I'm assuming you know, because I'm assuming you do more than watch TV, that Richard III's body was found under a parking lot in England. And guess what they found? He had a huge hunchback. But the problem is, you think that historian's going to say, I was wrong? Nobody's ever wrong. Suspension of judgment is a process. You start looking to get the information from the scripture on whatever the subject is. You evaluate it. You recognize that you have biases, and those biases don't mean you're evil. It simply means you have lots of different kinds of things that control what you want to hear. And then I think if you start here, I've had to learn this in science and in other ways, always being willing, look at me, stop, put your opinions aside. Now, everything I just said can be overcome by God told me, Holy Spirit led me, God opened a door, or He closed a door, He opened a window. Then truth gets thrown into the trash can and you do exactly what you wanted to do. How do you like that? Now, for you that were here on this Wednesday night, I'm going to talk about the other half of this. I think there is a broad process in the Bible of finding a spouse, some good ideas. I would ask that all the teenagers that can be there are there, because we're going to be talking about making your list. You know, otherwise you ought to have a list of non-negotiables. You ought not to go into marriage just saying, oh, she's pretty, if you're a guy. There's lots of pretty girls in them there woods. You ought to be thinking, and girls, I know the young ladies in this room aren't that dumb. So some idiot comes up to you and says, oh, you're so pretty. Here, some guy comes up to you and says, you're so pretty, it's what you do. When did you graduate from college? Where do you work? Where do you go to church? Why are you talking to somebody that you don't have some guidelines before you ever get there? Guys, same with you. Just because you're all, and by the way, sorry guys, I was your age. I know, I'm not picking on these guys. I was a guy too. Guys are, they don't necessarily, they're not all perverts. I don't think any of these guys are. But guys get fixated on whether girls like them. Guys, you need to grow up. First of all, you need to become something. And once you become something, you're a little more attractive in general. But you ought to have a list too. You know, this nonsense that I'm 16, you're 16, let's get married. Okay. Let me go back to marriage. By the way, I think the biggest thing about marriage is what you do after the 3 or 4 or 5 years of marriage. I think that's when marriage begins. I think actually that's the reason people from India, the system, which is so weird, very weird to Americans. I mean, I got pictures of Indian couples before marriage that met the day before. The husband smiling and the wife looks terrified. And I've seen 3 of those sets of pictures recently. Now, I'm not being crude. I'm not being impolite. She's going to be intimate with a man she's never met. But why do they work? A lot of it isn't that. A lot of it, the good marriages work because of what? Their parents, Ezra, were doing all of the list. Mom and dad had a big old list. Are you a Christian? What is your education level and all? Guys, you marry a girl that's dumb and you're smart? What do you talk to them about? Their fingernails? Sorry. I see them on television all the time being interviewed. And they go, hey, hey, look at my... And it's like, oh, let me run. Let me run. Ezra, do you understand what I'm saying? I think your parents normally do the process that in America we're going to have to do for ourselves. This is a good one. Why are you calling me pretty? How much money do you make a year? Nancy, you think that's terrible. I don't. Look at me. Why would Cassie talk to a guy who doesn't work? I said talk to a guy. She has a degree. She's a nurse. Why would she have a conversation with an idiot that doesn't even work? I'm not talking about millionaire. Just where do you work? How much money do you make? When did you graduate from? I mean, just ask questions. Yeah, what are your 1,000 different? And by the way, we'll talk about some of those questions Wednesday night. Anybody got any questions so far? Do you like this? You know what? This just makes sense to me, but here's your problem. Doesn't make sense to everybody. I've seen too many women, forgive me, ladies, none of these in this room. They get up and they're about 40. Clocks run out or running out. They get desperate. And the people, it's just like, what? By the way, do you reckon they're happy? I think they'd have been happier just to say, you know what, I'll just wait. And if God doesn't bring by somebody by my life, there's lots of other things I can do in life. All right. He that answereth, or she that answereth, look in your Bibles. I know this is a verse. I consider this a tool verse. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, or he or she that has an opinion before they got the what? They have accumulated and evaluated all the text. Well, they're fools. It's folly and shame unto them. That goes with any doctrine, that goes with any practice. The heart of the prudent getteth. I mean, that's an active preoccupation. They want to know. And the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. He that is, and of course, they don't just base what they do on one person. So suspension of judgment, I'm going to give you the ideas, and we'll be done this morning. It's this. First of all, being willing not to know or have an opinion. I met a guy. I wonder if he's the one. What are you going to do? Pull out your... Do you have like what do they call them in the country where there were people that you could get a certain kind of a branch and they were water witches. My grandfather could do it and they could find water. Whatever it was. Grandpa could do it. I don't think it's magic. I think there's a reason it worked. But here's my point. Is that what you do? I wonder if he's the one. How about this? How about talking to them for 2 hours about ideas in life? Here's what's sad. People that grow up in unhappy homes tend to marry unhappily. Not because they didn't know their parents were radically unhappy, but because they do exactly the same things their parents did. I have said this so many times that I could spit. Have you ever heard me say this? You don't have to be smart. You just have to be smart enough. Folks, I'm in love, Pastor Warren. Okay. We had a lovely lady here a couple weeks, last week. Her name is Wheezy. She tells me she's found someone she's interested in. What was my question to Wheezy? Has she met the uncles yet? You think I'm kidding? Oh, I'm not just kidding because I think that Cliff needs to approve. Look, these two young ladies over here already know this because we've talked about this in Bible class so many times. Do you realize a young lady that grew up in a Filipino family, that's, they're not really Filipinos, they're whatever. Yes, but hold on. But do they still have a lot of cultural Filipino habits? Hey, you grew up at, you, now, this is not criticism, so take it exactly as it is. You grew up in Frenchie's home. Frenchie likes to do whatever OCD behavior Frenchie likes. He doesn't like to hang around people. When things are over, 2 minutes before it's over, he likes to leave. And Filipinos like to get there and stay all day, all night, next week, with everybody they can. But let me ask you a question. Do you recognize that cultures are different? If some, oh, you say they're, well, of course they're pretty, and they're smart, and they got a lot going on, but if they was, is he the one? The answer would be, no, he's not. Because they're not going to be happy unless they gather together in groups. It's just part of growing up. Hello? See, I think we're very foolish when it comes to marriage. All right. I'm going to go ahead and finish this, and we're going to have some freedom today. Wow. Take your time. Anytime it comes to anything that's important, take your time. Take your time, which probably means more than 30 seconds. I taught on the subject of election in this Sunday school for 3 or 4 times, lengthy times, only to find out someone that was seated in here never heard a thing I said. When I said, no, I mean nothing. Now some of that, well, I don't know what it's from. All I know is this. Do you think you know because you're special? By the way, the greatest bias, if I could tell you your greatest bias, I'll put it on the board. I think it's the greatest bias of every person in this room, including the person you're looking at. You think you are special. Did you know that? So, you know the other people that smoke 3 packs a day? They get cancer, but...
No.
Yes, that's what I'm... Now, you don't have the problem with smoking. You understand? We think we're special. Is it inherent in human nature? I think the answer is yes. By the way, if you can ever get rid of this stupidity, then you can really go places in your Christian life. Get over thinking you're unique. You're not. You're just a person like me, like everybody else. All right. Do the work. Whatever the question is, do the work. Next, don't be pressured. And pressure always causes you to have problems. And the last two are very humorous to me. Next, don't follow culture just because it's culture. Got that? You say, it's my culture. I had a Filipino tell me that. Well, I'm a Filipino, and it's like, I don't care. Are you a Christian? But yes, Nancy. On the other hand, don't ignore culture. It's all part of the package. So, we are going to be done in 1 minute. I have done over 3 or 4 weeks something very simple. I want to do this. Hey, everybody, look here. Tim and I were talking about teachers. When you look at a teacher that doesn't have tools in the toolbox, I can already tell you the tool they have. They have two. You know what they would be? A teacher that doesn't have a lot of tools, what do they do? Yell in anger. Now, I don't even know why some people wouldn't recognize teachers do that. Good teachers, do they ever yell? Well, if it's Nicole... She has volume. My wife tells me I have volume. I think I'm quiet. I love you and you don't have this issue. But by the way, some of you can't figure out that some of you think Pastor Warren is you. I'm not you. I evaluate people. I know who can teach. I know who can't teach. And it all comes down to the tools in the toolbox. It's that way in every area of life. You now have some tools. These tools will help you immensely if you use them. You have to actually start reading the Bible for more than wasting life. What is God saying? About everything. You have to recognize you have bias. And it's okay not to know. Yes? Actually, it's a beautiful thing when you have this, aha, I'm done with this. Emily, you said something to me, you don't even remember saying it, 3 months ago about David. You said something so interesting to me. You said, I don't have that, something like, I don't have a very good opinion of David anymore, because we were talking about him and his children and stuff. Tonight, you're going to experience from the old man an aha moment. Because if you read 2 Samuel and 1 Samuel and 1 Kings and 2 Kings, you're not really supposed to have a good impression of David. Wow. And especially if you skip chapter 21, 22, 23, and 24 of 2 Samuel, you really have an opinion of David that is true, but it's not the truth. We'll talk about that tonight. By the way, I hope you have aha moments. I hope you say, where's this been all my life? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time. In Christ's name, amen.